Holy smokes.
Do we have JP on the horn?
He does answer the phone.
Joey Princeton, is he on the horn right now?
Joe Princeton.
Is that you?
That's me. I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm not quite too hungover.
You're still of the age to where that hangover thing could be an issue.
What's it like?
Yeah, I was at a company dinner party last night. It was a good time, though, so I had to
company,
have a couple last night for sure.
Company dinner party, yeah.
Obviously, that wasn't for your. That was the girlfriend's company party, right?
Yeah, no, it was for my seafood company in Alaska.
Oh, there
very
you go.
Nice.
I've kind of missed a lot of them the last couple of years because I'm always on the coast guiding, which is a great thing. But
that's why we always have such a hell of a time getting a hold of you. You've been out on the coast in the middle of nowhere tearing up the cohos. Now you're back home. Sounds like maybe the Green River or something's been kicking out some chums, kind of doing some stuff a little closer to home.
Yeah, I bought myself a 1978 Lavro for the coast. When she gets nice and low, I can take that down some of those boulder rivers. And
a 1978 Lavro fiberglass boat.
Yeah, that's a nice boat.
Cool.
I had a Lavro for years, man. That's a great boat.
They are awesome. You can pick them up one hand, shove them over all kinds of stuff. No problem. They slide like butter.
So you're doing the Green River now? I mean, you just got a few days left before you start transitioning into steelhead here. There's some chums on the green. We're hearing all kinds of things about the chums in there. So.
Oh, yeah. No, it's plugged with chums. They get a good run of chums all the way through December. And just doing the light tackle gig, I actually am right now I'm using the Daiwa Spinmatic 1-4 pound rated crappie rod. And these fish, they're so much fun.
Oh, no kidding. There you go.
Yeah, they're just climbing all over the bobber and jig thing. So it's a great fishery here in the greater lower Puget Sound region, and a nice place to get out and test your boat and have fun with your friends, and that's kind of what today's all about.
Heck yeah. Now, we're just on the cusp of winter steelhead, man. I've been on the phone most of the week, and I did roust up a little steelhead report from the Bogoshiel River out there. They just got a little shot a couple days ago into the Bogoshiel hatchery. Haven't heard much going on anywhere else, but we're close, man. We're within a week of having steelhead in most of our hatchery rivers here in western Washington. When that happens, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to be fishing jig and bobber? Are you going to be pitching worms, pulling plugs? Which way are you going to go with it?
Man, I can't believe we're talking about steelhead. That's literally my favorite word besides my girlfriend's name. It's time to pull out those bobber dogging rods. I am a big bobber dogger. I love using stick lead and setting up a clear drift presentation with fluorocarbon, a clear float. It doesn't matter what company you use, and stick lead, and probably for hatchery steelhead, two number fours and a number 12 cheater in the middle, or just go-to method with bait.
Pretty much a side drifting rig under a float. And the nice thing about that, it's almost snag free. Unless those hooks get caught up on something, you're kind of snag free, aren't you, JP?
You know what's nice about bobber dogging? Literally is the easiest technique to hold the boat perfectly for anglers. You always know where your bait is. You always know what is happening to your bait. You don't have to guess, hey, was that a rock, was that a log, or was that a fish? It's instantaneous. So you get really good hookups. Anybody can do it. And the nice thing is people don't think about the bobber dogging technique actually gets pulled naturally into the current seam where the fish are naturally resting. It's not one of those things where you don't really know when you're side drifting where the bait is actually at all times. It just actually goes right where the current is.
So
that's one thing I really love about bobber dogging.
And so to mend a cast, and let's face it, I mean, you get to fish a lot more than your clients, but so to get them fishing accurately, that just the technique of bobber dogging in and of itself, you can have them pull their gear if they overcast into location or maybe let it float and just to make sure they're in the right. It's easier for you to adjust their gear is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's so easy. And if you actually cast too far in and there's a log coming, you can teach to pull really slowly and really finessefully away from the log prior to getting there, keeping it in the strike zone, and then you know once the float is outside the log that you'll clear the log.
Do you ever get...
So you're always fishing.
You ever get surprised by a bite? Because, so you can watch your client's gear much more easily, and you kind of, after several days on the river, and you get in that mode, you know where they're going to hit, you know where you're going to get your takedowns. Do you ever get surprised?
Tom, I've had big hen steelheads, of all things, hen, follow the bait out of a hole and eat it at the oar of the boat. I've had guys lift their bait out of the water and then see the kind of milky scent trail, and then there's a flash. They say, put the bait back in the water. So they dip it back in the water like a tiger muskie, and they'll come out and eat it at the boat. It's insane.
They usually want to argue with you right at the end. They're like, no, just please, just get it back in the please, sir. Please, you're trying to be polite. So what about rivers, man? I mean, we've got, still a handful of rivers here in West Washington that get some hatchery steelhead in them. You know, I know you like that southwest corner of the state down there, in the, you know, the, some of those southwest rivers. What are some other areas that you like to hit once these hatchery steelheads start pouring in here, JP?
Bring in the hump. Wainuchi is always a go-to system early in the year. I mean, last year, just, you know, Christmas Eve, I think we hooked 7 Christmas Eve in my logbook. We didn't land all 7, of course, but yeah, that was Christmas Eve day. So we should be getting fish between now and then easily on this high water. It should be there. And then it's cold snap. I'll be on the newts checking it out and poking around, and maybe they're there, maybe they're not. But yeah, you know, hatchery steelhead season, man. They aren't the most aggressive creatures, but you know, coming off the high water, you'll see me in a low, slow flat, a really wide area of a river on a high water drop, checking fish out in those slow areas.
They really like
those slow flats.
They do hold in a little different area than the big wild fish will. That, you know, if wild fish, you're looking for big basketball sized rocks, real kind of heavy cover. Hatchery fish do tend to spill off onto the edges, onto some of those flats, even more of a pea gravelly area at times. So, I mean, are you following me, JP? Am I going down the right path with hatchery steelhead a little bit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, those wild steelhead are incredible, man. They really can hold in anything, any sort of speed, behind any rock, behind any chute, behind big log jams. I mean, they're everywhere. But hatchery fish, you know, they have kind of a tendency you can kind of figure out. You know, I really think they like slower, lazier areas. You do catch them in fast water. And there are some broodstock fish that are amazing fighters and amazing aggression. But, you know, I really like those areas of the river that slow down and create perfect, sexy seams of the river where they just are just going to be. They're going to be in those slow spots. And, you know, it's an easy area to target.
I agree with you. And you know, hatchery steelhead are a completely different animal than our wild steelhead, just because they're quicker to mature. In other words, they come in the river and they're going to spend less time in the river before they shoot up into the hatchery. So they're a little bit more predictable with regard to where they're going to be. But so as far as when they're going to be there, when is your first your first hatchery steely trip, Joseph? And whereabouts is that going to be?
Well, I usually try and start after they're legitimately in the system so I can legitimately target numbers. And I always feel like the numbers are there around the 10th to the 15th of December. There are numbers in the river. Doesn't mean you can't catch them next week or tomorrow, but the numbers seem to really build around the 10th of December is usually when a go-to date for me. On the lower peninsula, I know there's systems on the northern peninsula like the Bogus Shield. They're going to be full swing here really
shortly. Sure, Thanksgiving, go time, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's when I'll probably start pulling out that 12-pound leader and double number fours and 12 cheater, those small hooks and those soft. I mean, hatchery steelhead really have a soft mouth. They're really easy to hook. You don't have to have much of a hook set. So I got different gear for the hatchery fish and then the wild fish, of course. I'm using 15-pound CXX with 3-aught hooks for the big ones on certain parts of our state. But yeah, I'm pulling it all out. I'm getting ready now. I'm rigging these rods up, and I think I'll probably bring them out to the coast here. And 5 days after Thanksgiving, start targeting really hard.
Now, what about chums? Let's get back to chums here a little bit. I want to talk steelhead the rest of the show because I'm pretty excited about it myself. But you are catching some chums on the green right now. We've had a couple of texts in here this morning about the green. Folks wondering what's going on there. You're fishing jig and bobber for those chums. Are you tipping your jigs with a little shrimp, a little prawn? What are you doing out there right now?
Yeah, there's multiple ways to do it. I mean, purple and cerise is a go-to color on that river. It really is. You can use cerise. Flat cerise jigs work good. You know, basically anything. But definitely ponds are just, I mean, it really makes a night and day difference. You can take a regular medium size or jumbo size store-bought tiger prawn right out of the freezer, defrost it in the microwave, and cut them up. Or you can cure them. And I cure them for steelhead as well. I mean, you can hit them with multiple layers of borax or fire or pro-cure, anything you really want to use. Chain turn them colors. It helps sometimes, you know, and then tip your jig with it. And I always like to have, if I'm going to cure prawns, I always like to have color contrast where if I have a purple jig, I'm going to have a pink prawn, something like that. And it really, it works. Definitely the numbers add up.
He's Joe Prinsen. You can catch him on Facebook. Joseph Prinsen up there. Friend him up and follow his exploits here and on the coast. And I just got to ask you, though, before we let you go, Joseph, I mean, where did you cut your steelhead and teeth? Are you kind of a, you know, Reader Ponds rat, or did you do any kind of Puget Sound stuff back in the day?
Oh, man, you're making me smile. My best buddy, Austin McCleary, and I used to chase fish around the carbon and try and find them on the green.
Sure.
And we struck out and struck out and struck out, and then I finally got my first one on the good old Cowlitz River.
There we go.
I think a lot of people caught their first steelhead on the Cowlitz River.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I think some of your buddies are listening right now. I'm getting some kind of interesting text coming into here. The show at 710-710 from the 206.
Oh, man.
From the 206, when is your Men and Waiters catalog coming out? I think one of your buddies wants to.
Oh, man.
I don't know. It might even be Austin himself. I don't know.
Oh.
Oh, I'm going to dunk him in the river.
There we go.
Skunk. I'm not saying it's him, but it's one of your buddies here, because we got a bunch of them. They're rolling in now, buddy. So, hey, thank you for joining us. And
thanks for answering the phone.
Yeah, I know.
That's huge.
Well, I got
up early today and had some coffee prior this time.
Oh, it's outstanding work. All right. And I'm going to give you the honor of actually rowing my big behind around on the drift boat this year. Because it's got to happen, dude. It's got to.
Yes, it does. I got to get you out, man. Boy, right. Guys, let's do it.
Hey, thank you, JP. Appreciate you jumping on the horn with us, and we'll be in touch, buddy. Always a pleasure to have you on the show here.
Been awesome.
Thanks, JP.
Guys. Have a great day.
Good luck
buddy.
Out there, buddy. All right, take her easy. Okay. No, good guy. I mean, you get the opportunity to fish with this guy. You've got, you got a great day ahead of you, and a great day of learning too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody this passionate about it, somebody this experienced, you can't help but be a better angler after spending a day on the boat with Joseph Prinsen.
Well, and his passion is going after, I mean, we're talking hatchery steelhead now, but it's really all about those big wild steelhead, and he turns into a freak show, just like I used to. You know, come
used
February.
To?
Well,
used
trying to.
To
give myself some credit here. Thank you.
Okay,
still
great.
Do. But come February, March, that guy, man, he ropes some big steelhead out on the coast. So, yep.
Which brings in mind Miles Stomping Ground. You know, the Occupy Skagit guys are at it again.
I can't believe when I mention wild steelhead, I don't mention the Skagit anymore. Isn't that sad? It really bums me out. We could spend the rest of the show talking about that.
I hear you, and I agree with you, but before I met, you know, before we started working with Tobac and stuff, I used to love winters around here, right? And then as, you know, Florida boys constant griping about the weather, you know, made me realize that winter's a tough time, but I love the winters because I love being up on the Skagit, spending all that time up there to not have that opportunity in one of the most beautiful scenic locations in the state. It's a chunk missing.
And it wasn't just about the steelhead. There was a whole community of folks that hung out up there every weekend, every weekday. And, I spent, 15, 16 years up there guiding full-time up there on the Upper Skagit, all the Skagit for that matter, and really miss it.
So hopefully
we'll get it back in the next few years. Yeah. Those folks, Kirk Kramer,
house biologist.
Skagit.
Yeah, we'll be getting him on the show to talk about, because he pinged me last week as we're on our way to Montana with regard to that event. And Occupy Skagit is just a way to raise awareness and get this fishery back open.
And they have done that.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Without question. Yeah.